Isn't it great when you have something to look forward to, like the latest episode of this podcast, or even better, an amazing Italian getaway? Well, Explore Worldwide's new Amalfi Coast Discovery Tour is a slice of heaven. I'll be telling you more about it later in the podcast, but for now, I'll leave you with this. Their big blue sale is now on, and you'll save up to 20% on Explore's most popular small group adventures. Click the link in the episode description or book at exploreworldwide.com.au and don't just travel, explore.
A Listener Production.
I remember it hit me with the same-sex marriage vote. That was so important for us for the future, you know, having kids and grandkids for any of our children. If they choose whatever life they choose, they should be able to live that, as long as they don't hurt people. And on the day that that happened, we were in Hyde Park and there was a big celebration happening. And I remember I looked up at Centrepoint Tower and I just started to cry. And I just had this moment. It was the first time in my life that I felt that my country accepted me. I realised that I had felt on the outside since I was 9.
Hi, I'm Jess Rowe, and this is the Jess Rowe Big Talk Show, a podcast that skips the small talk and goes big and deep. From love to loss and everything in between, I want to show you a different side of people who seem to have it all together in these raw and honest conversations about the things that matter. Australia's most glamorous renovators, Mitch and Mark, first came to attention as contestants on The Block. The pair were again on the show as fan favourites, winning the reality TV show the second time they were on it. Their life comes across as colourful and as joyful as their renovations. But as you'll hear in this conversation, they open up about how they met and how they've worked hard to build a meaningful and loving family. I think this is Mitch and Mark as you've never heard them before. What I find fascinating about both of you is that you have built this very upbeat, stylish, beautiful brand together. But as we know, life isn't that. And life can be messy and complicated. And so what I really want to talk with you both about is the challenges that you faced. And so perhaps, Mark, I could start with you. What would you say the biggest challenge you faced as a couple?
You know, one of the biggest challenges in a bizarre way is that people don't believe that we get along as well as we do, which is a weird kind of back to front way. But we've had people say, oh, no one can get along that well because we spend 24/7 together. You know, We work together, we live together, and it's been like that for 21 years. And a lot of people don't believe that you can treat each other well. They just, you know, haven't they, Mitch? Some people have gone, oh, it's not real unless you're arguing, unless you're calling each other names. Well, we never do that. So that's probably the biggest. I mean, we get social media flack a little bit, particularly when we were first on The Block, the homophobic stuff. And that came up in The Block. I remember we challenged Scott Cam about some commentary around people like us, people like you. And so there was some flack from that, but actually people were very, very supportive. Yeah. So there's a bit of, we've had some homophobia, but you know.
And I want to talk about that a little bit later. I'm thinking more so, Mitch, about challenges you faced personally in the relationship. I mean, Mark's saying there that you never fight, which I find, I mean, I adore my husband, but I fight with him. We disagree.
I didn't think Peter would be that wrong all the time, Jessica. I'm disappointed in your husband. No, actually, we don't actually. It's pretty boring. We don't face challenges in that area whatsoever. We've never had a screaming match. We've disagreed. But when we disagree, I think we then try to understand the other person's perspective, and rarely we'll just say, you know what, I'm just going to have to leave that one because we can't come together on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm very mature.
He's very mature.
I was about to say you're very evolved, he's both very of evolved. You.
Well, I've learned the lesson of 21 years that whatever Mitch wants is what we do.
Yeah.
No, you know, I always keep in mind I don't want to be that person. Sometimes I see people, and we saw it on some of the shows that we've done, people attack each other when they're stressed. And it's not about the other person. They're feeling stressed and they lash out. And I always thought, well, one, I care about him that much that, and respect him, that I wouldn't do that. But I also thought, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who thinks it's okay to rip somebody apart, because it's not about them. It's about you.
But I also look at Mark often and think, the joy that it brings me to see him feeling so fortunate and so lucky to have me. And every day I look and think, oh my God, walking into that pub that night, who knew the joy Mark had in store for himself from there on?
Well, let's talk about that, how you first met. It was sort of old-fashioned in the sense of it was way before swipe left or right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A pub in Oxford Street. Mitch, you were on a date then.
Oh, no, I was on an exit date.
And what is an exit date?
An exit date is the one where you tell somebody, this ain't going nowhere.
Oh, so you were saying this to someone.
He was dumping somebody.
I'd already told them.
Oh, okay.
And then that person said, well, what are you looking for? And I said, I don't know, probably someone like him. He looks like an all-American boy. Probably that's what I'm after. He might be an arsehole, but whatever. That's what I'm after.
And you pointed at Mark.
And then we both pointed at Mark then. He said, him? And I said, yes. And Mark waved. And I said, oh my God, he's waving. I should be polite and go and say hi. So that was the end of that date and met Mark.
And all I saw were two people pointing at me and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I just kind of waved. I thought, I don't know who you are. I have never met you before. And this strange person came up and said, oh, you were waving at me. I thought I'd come up and say hello. And I said, well, you were pointing at me. I didn't know what else to do. And
we've barely been separated since, including that night. I was pretty easy.
It's very true since that night.
I love it. We dig deep here. We get all of the info. This
well,
is great.
I said to Mark,
but yes, he was dumping somebody and I was not in the plan. You were dumping somebody, but you had somebody else you were setting up to date.
Simon, the next
He already
person.
Had somebody else. He was ready to go.
It was on a three-week cycle.
Yeah. And he said he was looking for a relationship. Remember you were like, I'm at that point, I want a relationship.
I had the wrong ones and I wanted the right one. So I was running three-week trials.
So what was it then about Mark that meant he was the right one?
I just knew. For one, he was my age.
I was older.
Mark's age attracted me. I just connected straight away and I said, oh my God, I've been looking forward to meeting you. And Mark did say, yeah, that's kind of weird. And I said, don't worry, I'll explain that in the morning. And Mark said, heads up, there'll be no in the morning. I said, I'll explain that too.
And
you know,
what
Jess, there were so
think?
Many warning signs from the beginning and yet I'm still here. So many warning signs.
So then for you, Mark, what was it about Mitch? I mean, apart from his wonderful sort of cheekiness and joy de vie and style and all of that, but what was it that made you think?
I found him physically attractive, but it was his fun. And for all of his kind of craziness and he's all out there, Mitch is a very stable relationship family man, like he's really committed. So whilst he was on his dating frenzy, when he's, in my view, when he's in a relationship, he's there 120%. And I guess that was what I was looking for. But he was very different to what I thought I would end up with. I mean, I was 42. By that time, I thought, oh, I'm 42, you know, I'm single, I'm fine. So yeah, and I think he's a very constant person. There was just that bit of magic. And I would never have met him any other, like that's the sliding doors story is we didn't mix in the same circles. And I walked into that bar by mistake that night. I walked past the bar going home and I turned around and went back in. If I hadn't done that, we never mix in the same circles.
I don't know how we had
never
met.
And I thought he was more A-list. I was like, I was about a C-list. You know,
oh,
in the gay
don't.
Community, you had kind of
so what does
categories.
That mean? Really?
Oh, well, in my mind, you did. You know, you had certain people that were good looking and dressed well and all that stuff.
Good with the shirt off, you know, dancing on the dance floor.
You know, all that stuff. And
gee,
I had
that's a lot of pressure.
Well, it wasn't.
I don't think they put themselves under so much pressure now when I look around out there.
No, I think people have forgotten about the order, the right order of the world. world.
No, but isn't, I imagine that that in a way is kind of freeing because how exhausting to feel it's all about the exterior.
It was exhausting and I certainly didn't feel like I was, you know, you look at people attractiveness, often they say people are attracted to the same kind of attractiveness level. I think it's been research that's shown that, but if you don't think that you're in that same level, then I would have missed out. I mean, I didn't think I was in his level.
Oh, that's stupid. But
I didn't, I wouldn't have met you.
One thing now with the online dating, people only judge by swiping left, swiping right. So it has to be on physical appearance. So you don't now see that incredibly standardly beautiful man or woman with a incredibly not the regular standard because those people don't meet anymore.
Mm.
So like you won't meet the guy who's the best guy you'll ever meet in your life because you're looking for someone who's better looking than that. But it's only superficial. You're looking
yes.
for...
And that doesn't
sad.
Last.
I'm just sad.
No. You miss out on that magic. And as Mark, you're yes. saying that sliding doors moment. And sometimes I do believe things are meant to be. You two were meant to meet. But Mitch, for you, you were divorced.
Yes.
And you had teenage kids when you
yes.
met Mark.
Yeah, they were. All teenage kids, yeah. 18, 17 and 13. Yeah.
So explain that to me. How did that come into being?
I was... raised with Catholic values, and the Catholic values, there's no room for homosexuality. And if you've got those thoughts in your head, in my case, which I think was quite common,
yes.
Well, now maybe other boys acknowledged it and put it away. I acknowledged it as evil thoughts. It must happen to everybody. So every boy deals with this. You just park that. And then by the time I got to 30, I thought, hello, that doesn't seem so evil to me. And by the time I got to 30, I thought, shit. I'm gay and now I'm married with three kids and living in the U.S. and we moved to the U.S. by that stage. And it was a whole lot to deal with and I continued to keep it and hide it until the stage where I couldn't hide it anymore. And my wife and I lived with it for a few years together and then it was stupid.
I can't begin to imagine what that must have felt like to hide the essence of who you are for so long.
Yeah, I used to be... considered very similar to that I am now as far as easygoing, happy, life's a breeze, everything's perfect, but it was fake. And then I remember when we split and even when I did a separation and I sort of left, I wanted to make sure the family was okay, at a cost to me, which is fine because I thought it was more important the kids and my ex-wife didn't have to have a big adjustment because we were no longer together. But I remember thinking, I'm pretty much broke. But God, I'm happy. It's like, I'm free. I can actually be not who I want to be, I can be who I am. And I don't have to apologize anymore. It was amazing. And it was funny that you get to the point where I think before that I always thought if I have more money, I'll work harder, get richer, I'll be happier. And then I thought, money didn't help. Just being honest. Being honest with yourself. And actually, it gives you permission to love yourself and get to the point where you think, I don't want to change me. I love being me. I'm excited being me every day. Like, and not everyone.
And he is every day. He's very excited.
But not everyone wants to be, like most people don't want to be me or like me, but I love being inside this life.
And would you almost say too, that incredible joy that you have and that you exude whenever I see you and you give me a hug and you exude this joy, are you almost, dare I say, making up for lost time or time when you
maybe.
Weren't fully... yourself.
Maybe. Yeah, like I do wake up to joy like every day. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like an obsession. I wake up excited. Like I'm glad that the sleeping part is over.
But you know the fascinating thing about when I learned that he had children and then we talked a bit about kind of his divorce and the commitment he had to his children, his family, that made it actually better for me. I guess I fell more in love and more, you know, because it was his heart. And I came from a family that had divorced. And when I was a kid, I guess I respected that the kids were the most important. My experience might have been a little different and it was a different era. So when I learned that from Mitch, I remember when I realized and there was a conversation where I was like, I had photos of my nephews around my apartment. And you commented and said, do you have children? And I said, no, they're my nephews I'm close to. And then I looked at him and I said, but you have children, don't you? And he said, yes. It actually made it better. I think for some people, gay people, they, you know, in a relationship like that, sometimes they will either run away because they don't want the complication, or some of them are attracted to it because they think it's like having a pet. You know, oh, you've got children. But I was like, they're actually the most important. And there was a point when I first met Blake, I remember Mitch and I spoke and I said to him, before I meet Blake, I would like that you talk to his mum. His mum needs to feel okay. We need to meet. She needs to feel okay because she's entrusting her child to me in some way. And so I respected everything that he had done. Yeah.
So how old was Blake then?
13.
When you met? 13. And how did that go, that sort of first meeting and conversation?
The first meeting was hilarious, and Blake and I are very close now, and so we laugh about it. But I remember meeting him, and he's very tall now. He was very tall. At 13, he was like 6'2" or something.
Yeah.
He was a very tall kid.
And he was going through, was very brief, but he was in that attitude phase.
He had, yes, he had that teenage attitude. But so I walked into the apartment and he was standing there and Mitch was standing behind him. Keeping in mind, Mitch has an evil sense of humour. And so Mitch put him up to it. And so poor Blake looks at me and I said, oh, hi, you know, I'm Mark. And he said, oh, hi, you must be the new stepmother. And I could see he was a bit uncomfortable, but Mitch was standing behind his shoulder and I could see Mitch with this evil glint. And I looked at poor Blake and I said, no, but I can be an evil one if you'd like. And poor Blake just stood in shock and looked at his father. And then we laughed. And now, like, Blake and I are very close. Yeah, so it got off, you know, it had its ups and downs. And a couple of times I took the, you know, don't talk to your mother that way. It was like, don't talk to your father that way, because I'm very protective, but I'm also very respectful of the kids. That's your dad, and your dad is amazing and he will drive you crazy. That's his job, but he's still your dad and you need to treat him
that
way.
Oh, and likewise.
And they do now. They adore their father.
And likewise, they have to treat Mark with respect because Mark pays them respect. So it's like, so they were taught to respect people in general. But they never really attempted to go at you, did they?
No, they didn't. I actually had to do the adjusting. So I think as a gay man, you know, I came out when I was like, I mean, I knew I was gay when I was like 9. And
you didn't come out till late.
No, I didn't come out.
Slow starter.
Himself. I was a lot, yeah. So I had never anticipated a family, I'd never been involved with women. So very purist, you might say. But there was a point I remember with the kids, and Mitch was talking to me and said, oh, I'm going to give Blake some money for Mother's Day for his mum. And my first thought was, oh, why would you do that? And at the same moment, I went, oh, that's what you do as a parent. But I'd never been a parent. And I remember talking to Mitch one time and I said to him, you know, I've kind of realised I'm either all in or I'm all out. And all in means I have to accommodate stuff and, you know, make room for things that I didn't have to think about before. And I also had to realise there are two parents and I'm the extra. It's like, not in a bad way. For the kids, I would say, you have mum and dad, but you also have me. So if you need, and sometimes for them that's a challenge because I can sometimes
For Blake particularly, the youngest one, he does see us. I think Zoe does. Like Zoe and I have a father-daughter closeness, but she's still close with you.
Oh, yes.
You and Blake, the youngest one, very close.
Yeah.
That's pretty equal.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't give him any more than he gives you.
No.
And then the middle one, he flips and flops. You were very close. Not so much now. You're very close. Not so much now.
It happens.
Yeah, flips and flops.
With kids. I've learned a lot.
When they get older, you have to... Yeah. One thing we've learned, when your kids get older and yours have got a long way to go before this happens, you have to stop wishing for them what you wish for them for yourself.
That was a hard one.
That was hard. When they didn't necessarily go the direction that we necessarily wanted, happy with where they've gone, but when they're not taking that direction, you think, you've got to sit back and say, hang on, this is their choice.
Yeah, we were projecting onto them.
And it's their life. And I think, Mitch, you are so right.
It's hard.
As you're saying that, I'm nodding, listening, because you do want to give your kids all of sort of your advice, and all the things that have gone wrong for you, you don't want that them to inherit that. So you're like, let's go this way, this way. But it is their lives and you have to step back, and that's hard.
Well, when I meet people where the father's a doctor or a lawyer and three of the children are also going through medical school, I think, well, I hope that's what they freaking want.
Yeah.
And like, we have got friends who had two kids and they were kind of very much guided towards where they should go in their career. It wasn't what they wanted. And those two adults, young adult or mid-20 adults, they're not really happy with their choice.
Yeah.
Because they did what their parents thought was the best thing for them.
And it's a big realization about yourself. It's not about them. It's not about the kids. It was about what we thought was best for them because we knew better. And yet we say we just want them to be happy. And they are. So we talked one time when we have to back off.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's hard.
So Mitch, for you, Mark shared what it was like for him and what it meant for him to know that you had kids, how that went with your relationship. How were you navigating that time? Were you on tenterhooks? Were you hoping, I hope my kids love Mark and Mark loves them? Or it's tough stuff, you know, when families split up and then you're sort of coming back together again in a different way.
It is that simple, the way you put it. I was on tenterhooks because I wanted him to like them and I wanted them to like him. And I've been through it before with one prior partner where they all loved each other, but it was all too much. And then when they didn't love each other, it wasn't so good. But Mark was more level-headed about it. And the kids, I think everyone took it kind of easy. Mm. And we didn't have any problems, but I was always wanted everything to be perfect. Because I suppose I'd been well-trained in my prior life to make everything look perfect.
And keep up appearances.
Exactly. And I think this was not so much keeping appearances. In some ways, wanting everything to be perfect as the divorced parent with children, it's actually quite selfish. You want everything to be perfect with your partner and the children, because if everything's perfect with them, your life's easier. We all want an easier life, but it probably is selfishly motivated. And it takes a long while to a lot of self-development to get to the stage where, quite frankly, if you don't get on, that's okay. It is okay. You haven't got to get on.
Remember, your next international getaway dream can come true with Explore Worldwide's Big Blue Sail. Their small group adventures allow you to really connect with the culture, not just tick off the sights. Explore Worldwide's expert tour leaders get you closer to the colour of Morocco, the peaceful beauty of Japan, or the hidden gems under the glorious Italian sunshine. And with their Big Blue Sail on now, you'll save up to 20% on Explore's most popular small group adventures. Click the link in the episode description or book at exploreworldwide.com.au and don't just travel, explore.
I'm looking at the two of you and what you sort of alluded to it and mentioned it, you are very different. And I think about Petey, my husband, we're very different, but there's a lot that we share in common, like the moral code, our moral compass is the same. And that's what keeps us together.
Yeah, that's so well said. Absolutely. We are quite different in personality, but it's the same foundation. And it's the respect and care for each other, and our relationship is most important. And you balance it with the kids. They are the most important thing in our lives outside of that. But it's the same moral compass.
And do you think, Mitch, that's also why it works, that you are different? You sort of bring out the best in each other.
We do bring out the best in that we have got a lot of very similar beliefs. Our moral compass is very similar, although Mark's moral compass might be a little bit higher than mine. Mine can be a bit lower than it should be at times. Like my thoughts.
True.
My thoughts and the inside head thoughts are not all pure. Like I'll look at something or somebody and I...
You'll say it instead of just inside.
No, he doesn't have a poker face
either. I won't say it. But my daughter one time said, Dad, how dare you? And I said, I didn't open my mouth. And she says, you didn't need to. The eyes said enough. thought, oh.
Yeah, he's not, but he doesn't have a poker face.
Touchy.
And he will say, like it happened on the block a couple of times, he will just say things. And they seem funny at the well, they don't. At the time, I'm like, what are you doing? But he does it somehow with humour and gets away with it.
Well, I think it comes from a good intention. I think sometimes you do have a very good heart. You do.
But his intention is...
Mark, you're suggesting Mitch's intention is a bit...
Oh, he can be evil. No.
No.
We did a renovation, one of our first renovations, and it wasn't going as well as we hoped. And I spoke to the builder, didn't swear once. No swear word. And the builder ended up speaking to Mitch saying, I won't do with Mark again, the way he spoke to me. Mitch called him everything under the sun because he said, no, you haven't got this done, you haven't got that done.
I threw some very choice words. And then but he said, Mark made me feel so bad. He said he told me that I was disrespectful and that the procedure had not been followed. And I totally let him down and he was absolutely disappointed in our work. And he said, so Mitch, I have to deal with you going forward. I thought, okay, I just called you every...
He did.
Bogan, vile thing I could think of. I was digging.
Oh, you talk about, reality TV there, the block. And to me, you throw together renovation, lack of sleep, pressure, all of this sort of stuff, but you're still together as well.
Yeah.
And that you sort of had arguments and disagreements, but there was still respect between the two of you. Yeah. How on earth does that happen?
That was easier for us than any other couple we've worked with because we knew it was tough. And I think maybe the fact that we were older than any couples on the block was our advantage.
We're the oldest people ever, living or dead, from the block.
From the 14 years from before it started, we're still older than anyone who did it 14 years earlier. That's a record you don't want. But anyway, when we were on the block and we were working our butts off and we had a pretty strong work ethic, which made it easier for a start so we could push ourselves further to the limit. We were fit, so that overcome the age issue. Mm. But when we would recognise one or the other was crumbling, we would automatically think, okay, my other person...
Needs me.
Yeah, yes. And has to stop doing any processing work now. They've got to do labour.
Yes.
So Mark would say...
Because sometimes you would say, I cannot, I'm so tired, I cannot think this through. And the other one, so Mitch, if I was like that and you go, I cannot get my head around this... First off, you had to allow the other person to direct you. And we saw a lot of couples that would take offence. You can't tell me what to do. They took offence rather than took it as, can you help me because I don't know how to think through it. And we did that. Mitch would go, I remember it happened on the first block, just move those tiles from that room to that room.
And it's going to take you 4 hours because there's a lot of them.
And you just have to do it. And so... We didn't take offence. I didn't say, you can't tell me what to do. You go, thank you, I just need to do something.
But we were also witnessing other couples imploding and calling and like screaming obscenities at each other. And that probably also was a bit of an eye-opener because it was quite confronting.
Mm.
And it made us more aware. You can't do that. It's not going to help. And actually even speaking to some of those
couples. Well, we had one of the wives came in one night. We got on well with and you got on well with and she said, oh, we've just had a big row and I've just called him the language we were shocked at. But now we're okay, we've cleared the air. And Mitch and I were like, I've never thought of those words in relation to you, Mitch. So I would never feel good. Like I just would not use that. If I was angry with you, I would say that.
I can't imagine you speaking to Peter like that.
No, but the point you make... I think is a really good one, Mark, that's not a part and has never been a part of your connection or relationship, that is not how you communicate. So even when you are pushed and under incredible pressure, that doesn't come to the fore.
Yes, we don't revert to that.
Yes. No. But having said that, were there ever times in that sort of pressure cooker environment where you both were like, we can't do this anymore. Not so much we can't be together anymore, but we're walking away from this spotlight.
Yes,
because reality TV is not real life. It's
We had those moments. After one of the judging nights, we thought, can't go back there, don't want to face them, don't want to face the story we just realised they've created.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired as hell. And if we go back from this judging thing and go back there, they'll want to do interviews with us. So we're just removing ourselves for a few hours.
We'll choose to do that. And in a build like the block, which a lot of people ask us, is it real? And it's like, yes, it is. It's 150% I mean, if you're not doing work, then don't be there. But, you know, we have had some times where it's like, I'll just go for a walk and come back, because you need to break the cycle. But we've done that. Like, if we're annoyed, you can get annoyed with each other. It was just that we choose not to abuse each other. We choose to go for a walk and come back and think it through. Or sometimes choose to say, how important is that point? Are you just scoring for the sake of scoring? You know, that's not a relationship. Winning for the sake of winning.
And when Mark has been annoyed like that, I've often said to Mark that when he's stopped being annoyed, I've forgiven him for being annoyed.
No, you know, the best
for
thing
being annoyed I learned, and not expressing it to
yes,
me.
Yes, I learned in the beginning of the relationship. If Mitch, because one time you got annoyed with me and he went for a walk and I sat and read a book and he came back and he can't not talk. So I was happy to be there silent. And he eventually just said, are we going to talk? And I said, well, that's up to you. And he said, I have to talk. I just have to talk.
I was giving him the silent treatment.
He can't
it's
be silent.
It's bad when you're not a silent person.
You do that. You're not a silent person either,
you
are you?
Be
so no.
No.
Peter'd be like me, be able to sit there and go, oh, I'm having quiet time. I'll enjoy my time.
This is lovely.
As I'm huffing and puffing around him. Yeah. At the very start of our conversation, Mark, you mentioned some of the awful homophobia.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry that both of you had any of that, because
well, you know, it was part of the journey of that era.
But journey, it's but
well, it wasn't good. I mean, I kind of tried to. I had a great uncle who was gay, so he grew up in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and I try to go imagine what must that have been like for him, because everything is built on. You know, we all build on the shoulders of the people before us, and I mean, I remember it hit me with the same-sex marriage vote, and that was so important for us for the future, you know, having kids and grandkids for any of our children. If they choose whatever life they choose, they should be able to live that, as long as they don't hurt people. And on the day that that happened, we were in Hyde Park and there was a big celebration happening. And I remember I looked up at Centrepoint Tower and I just started to cry. And I thought, why? And I just had this moment. It was the first time in my life that I felt that my country accepted me. I realised that I had felt on the outside since I was 9. And it was like, oh, I didn't realise that. It just hit me. I mean, Mitch had his journey of feeling on the outside. So it's kind of also, it's a strange circumstance now to have a certain amount of celebrity and notoriety as a same-sex couple, and to be, we have so much respect and love from people.
You get...
It's weird.
We did learn that it's okay to be gay if you've got a bit of celebrity. It makes a big difference. Like, I remember being in certain environments thinking, if we weren't a couple with a bit of profile now, we would not be being applauded. We would be being stoned. But I also, I actually don't focus on the negativity, which makes it can make it come across like I'm not supportive of progress. But I am very big into whatever progress we're aiming for, let's not deny the fact that like your uncle, like me as a younger guy, it was easier to get married and have children than to express my true self. Mm. We've come so far, so let's be celebratory of what we've achieved for gay guys, for people of certain race, for women aiming for equality, which sounds that sounds stupid. It sounds so dumb to even think we've got to aim for that. But when I look at that, our mothers were of a generation that when they married, they had to stop working.
So yeah. You're married, you can't work.
Which was not just terrible, it was just stupid.
Yeah.
But so for female equality, we have a long way to go. But let's also be very happy for female equality, for gay acceptance, for race acceptance. Let's be happy for where we are, but keep aiming for more.
And I guess in our own way, what's been really good is being on TV, reality TV, which, by the way, I never wanted to do, young people watching. And we didn't realise, because we didn't really watch The Block before we applied and got on it. It was bizarre.
Big mistake.
And it's a kids' program. It's really aimed family and children. And the number of kids that gravitated towards us, we were surprised by that afterwards. But the good thing is, they loved the humour. We got on well. We treated each other well. Mitch was funny. I was kind of reliable, you know. People felt that solid character. But young gay kids were watching with their parents. And we had a guy, Mitch was walking and this young man stopped his car and called out and he said to you,
he pulled his car over the curb like a maniac and jumped out of the car and said, "Hey, Mitch." And I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I just want to let you know, I sat there with my parents and they were saying how much they liked you and acknowledged you were gay." And he said, "I used that moment. I told them I'm gay too." And he said, and they were like embraced. It was okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You gave me a platform. For us to have any impact like that, thinking that when we grew up, the gay people on TV were comedy, Mr. Humphries, that sort of stuff. It was Benny Hill stuff. But to have a kid go, "Thank you, you let me do that."
And I suppose it takes me to a position where I think for asking for more progress, we're better off to do it from a position of being joyous and celebratory of what we've achieved across the board for everyone, to be doing it with happiness to go for more rather than doing it out of anger. It just creates tension between those who want change and those who don't.
I have a view that anger is a great motivator. It's what you do with it.
Yeah.
It's how you channel it. So some of the biggest improvements, you know, the civil rights movement, the gay rights movement, the feminist movement, comes from the anger of feeling disadvantaged and feeling judged and not having the same opportunity. So use it as your engine and direct it somewhere. And I guess we've directed
with
it.
Happiness.
With happiness. Well, we kind of have directed it that way and feel secure in ourselves. So we still on social media. Our social media people are amazing. We travel the world and we have people all around the world who've talked to us. We get some homophobic stuff on social media. Not much. Generally, it's from men and it's usually probably straight men who are dealing with issues. But we have a lot of people that just are amazing. So you ignore that. You go, "You know what? I am who I am," to quote him.
I love that. I am what I am.
See he would do that.
You got the words almost wrong again. You know that, don't you?
I know the words. So homophobia still exists, you know, but you just have to be in your own confidence.
We've got a platform through our Instagram, Facebook and what's that, YouTube, that other modern one. We talk about our life and we talk about our renovation journey. We take people on our holidays with us.
Yeah.
We share a whole lot of our life. We don't touch on religion or politics because, quite frankly, people are looking at us for our renovation stuff and for a bit of fun that we have.
And joy.
It really is, now more than ever, we've got to focus on that. And that's the stuff of life.
We have so many people, we've had a number of people message us saying, "You just make me smile. I was having a down day.
So nice.
And you make me happy." And a friend of ours, her mum is going through some pretty tough health battles and she's gorgeous. And she just says, "Every day I see what you boys are up to and you just make me smile."
And you both make me smile, because before we go, I do want to get tips from both of you about what's a way that we could just zhuzh up a room to look, and not expensive, but something, you know, because there'd be people listening feeling a bit, And I'm such a believer in how we dress, the sort of environments that we surround ourselves in can lift our spirits.
Yes.
What is some instant, I'll start with you, Mitch, sort of a mood lifter or something that you could do to your room?
To me, it's the first step is to give yourself permission to express what you want out of the space. And you'll find that through flicking through mags.
That's old fashioned.
or cruising online, Pinterest, having a look around what makes you happy, and don't dare go down the path of what's on trend.
Yeah.
Because unless that's for you, but people express what makes you happy, because there's no point in doing a coastal chic house if that's not who you are.
Yes, people go for perfection. They go for their rules and I need to do it this way and I need to do it that way. Mitch is right. First off, what makes you happy? When you walk into that room, what will make you smile? And start with that. I think even flowers, plants, something green, something living. Gee, an amazing bunch of flowers that it doesn't have, don't go expensive. When we sold our Newport place, Mitch used plants from the garden. Went out and
dig
just
up the
got
garden,
leaves
yeah.
and things. You know, that can make you smile because it's something beautiful.
But just do something. Make a start. Don't procrastinate. Just, yeah. And have fun.
Well, I've had so much fun. And you too have brought me so much joy. And thank you for giving us a look into your lives and sharing your experiences and that conversation. It's been very special.
Jess, you bring joy to us. Just hearing your name, I think, oh, yes, it's Jess. She's a little bit like me.
You're going to get the same glasses.
That's what I love.
I can say, Pete, I understand.
Well, that's
Pete and I would
kind
understand.
Of, that's the thing, because when I knew that I was so excited to be interviewing you both, because I'm like, it's Petey and I,
you too.
And dare I say, if my lovely leopard lady producer doesn't mind as well, Nick and Bern, her wife, Nick is you, Mark, and Bern is Mitch.
Oh, really?
Yes, they're
Bern,
like...
Bern sounds good.
Nick, I know.
Yeah, Bern, like me,
we get a bit underrated sometimes.
Our philosophy is... remember that old... Was it,
but they
was
need it us. Genetic? We're the foundation.
That's right. You need to keep us grounded and to pay the bills.
Yes.
And to register the car.
Oh, my God. You know him.
Yes. And to,
I
and,
forget about and, that stuff.
And to, there was a Coco Chanel said, when you leave in the house, look in the mirror and remove one piece.
No.
Screw that. Add another.
More is more.
20 pieces. Yes. More is more. Less is a ball.
Oh, I'd hate to see you two in each other's cupboards. God.
Imagine.
You, go, you need to get out of the closet, both of you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, beautiful.
Thanks, Jess. So gorgeous.
So what resonates with you after that conversation? There's so much that really gets me in my heart speaking with Mitch and Mark. I love that they opened up in a way that I haven't heard them open up before. And that sense of family, connection and love and also joy. Don't you think that was a really strong thread in our conversation? What sat with you? It also reminded me very much of a time when I recently saw Mitch and Mark at a lovely event, and they always look so sensational. There's Mitch being joyful in some wonderful leopard print outfit and Mark looking dapper in a jacket and suit. And Mitch was divine because he helped me with my stiletto, which had got caught in a footpath. You know how your heels, if you wear heels, I don't wear them much anymore, but they get stuck in the footpath. So Mitch was there helping me with my shoes. And we had a laugh and we were full of joy. And that is what I'm left with after that conversation with them both. Now, do you want some more Mitch and Mark magic? I know I do. All you need to do is to check out their latest project. It's called the Bayside Penthouse. It is a bold new renovation in Brighton Les Sands. And you can watch it all unfold on their YouTube channel, Mitch and Mark. The Joy Factor. You can also follow them on Instagram and Facebook. And if you love this chat with Mitch and Mark, there are so many incredible conversations waiting for you here on The Big Talk Show. All you need to do is to hit subscribe. It's free, and it means you'll never, ever miss a dose of Big Talk when a new episode lands. And you know how much I love growing our Big Talk community. Keep sending those DMs and those messages because they mean so much to me and my lovely leopard lady producer, Nick. And now, do you know someone who would love this episode? Perhaps they are fans of the block. Perhaps they're renovators. Perhaps they're looking to try and embrace some more joy in their lives. All you need to do is to tap those three little dots and share it with them. It is the easiest way to spread the Big Talk love. And if your besties or workmates aren't already listening, get them on board the Big Talk Show podcast train. Is it a train or is it a movement, a community? I don't know. Let me know what you think. And if this conversation left you thinking or feeling something big, I reckon you will also really love my chat with my beautiful friend, Carlotta. You'll find a link waiting for you in the show notes.
People will think what they want to think. You must never go through life worrying about what people think of you. I don't. I really don't. I know how I conduct myself. If you don't like me, get off the planet. If you like me, you're welcome anytime.
The Jess Rowe Big Talk Show is hosted by me, Jess Rowe, executive producer Nick McClure. She's a wonderful leopard lady. Audio imager Nat Marshall, supervising producer Sam Kavanagh. Until next time, remember to live big. Life is just too crazy and glorious to waste time on the stuff that doesn't matter. Okay, now it is time to explore, because now it's time to tell you a little bit more about Explore Worldwide's new Amalfi Coast Discovery Tour. Imagine lemon groves, little cliffside villages, staying in a family-run hotel where the pasta is definitely better than anything you've made at home. Even better, it can all be yours for less, with up to 20% off in Explore Worldwide's Big Blue Sale on now. Click the link in the episode description or book at exploreworldwide.com.au, and don't just travel, explore.